بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In Surah Tawbah, Allah Ta'ala speaks about three classes of people for our uses and purposes and for our understanding. One is the faithful, honest, faithful, truthful. And the other is the unfaithful, rejecting, obstinate, proud and arrogant. So one is on the extreme right wing, one the left wing. Then you get the third class that wants to hang in between. So the one that wants to hang in between, they perhaps want to hang in for several reasons. The gist or the essence of the playing this type of a role is, say, for in case something happens, then what? Say if this thing fails, then I got something to hold on. If this thing fails, I got something to hold on. So this is the third class. And in the Surah Tawbah, a great deal is being addressed to this group. Minhum wa minhumul ladhina yu'zuna an-nabi wa minhum may yaqulu dhalli wa la taftinni. So a lot of time has been spent just on this group here. In fact, in Surah Baqarah, when Allah Ta'ala addresses three classes of people, right? So first He speaks about the believers, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ, right? One class. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. So the other class. And then the third class. The third class, إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. Hanging in between. They may come out with right pretexts and right shapes and appearances, right? And within themselves they feel that they're doing good, not realizing that they're creating damage, pain, problems, difficulties everywhere. So this is the third group. إِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Say, don't make mischief. When you tell them, آمِنُوا كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, and then they say, that we are here to put things right. And Allah is saying, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ. They are the actual mischief makers. So you get this third group. And unfortunately, in this day and time, this mischief makers group is the predominant group. In the words of Hazrat Shah Wasiullah Sahib Rahmatullahi, nifaq siqqa'i ra'ijul waqt hai. Nifaq siqqa'i ra'ijul waqt hai. This democracy, really it's supposed to be hypocrisy. The hypocrisy is the currency of the time. You know, you say dollar, right? That's a currency. So what is the predominant currency? It's hypocrisy. It's been covered to give a better appearance, and they just called it democracy. So it doesn't look so bad. So this is the predominant currency of this day. So the most valuable thing will be in this day to hold to the truth. That honesty will be about the most valuable thing. There can't be a thing that is as valuable today as being honest, truthful, loyal, patriotic. So this will be about the most valuable thing. when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen, he says المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض. They are one another, right? But what it means, they are identical. They are the same. Right? That's what it means. That they are the same. So when you say they are the same, then what do you mean? In other words, they may be coming up from different nationalities, different colors, different races, right? Different background, right? Different languages, they may be presenting themselves differently, but the goal is the same. So the packaging may be a little bit different, right? The makeup may be a little bit different, their behavior may be different, but all's goal is the same. Al-munafiqoon al-munafiqatu ba'aduhum min ba'd, they are all identical, same. So whether it's a black, whether it's a white, whether it's brown, whether it's yellow, all are going in the same direction. Right? So that means in this day and time, when that has become the predominant currency, then the most valuable thing in the sight of Allah Ta'ala will be the currency of truth. There won't be anything as precious as that. Right? See, this was a constant concern in the Sahaba Kiram that what is the better thing to do? You know, because we have become materialistic, so all will ask, you know, every person will ask, he's got some money, so he'll ask, what is the better investment? In the madrasa, there was a last thing to ask about, but I think that's about the second most asked question, what is the better thing to do? I got so much money stashed up now, what must I do with it? So I have to tell that by, we're not in this game here, you ask someone that's in this game here. Well, once or twice I did show someone, right? It was his takdir, it was his fortune, I think some 25 to 30 years ago. So someone asked me. So now, whatever was going on at that time, I just told him, you know, I think this Kruger Rand may be the right thing. He is lucky, paid about 50 rands for it, 30, 35 years ago. And then in a few years, that he went to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. Life study, I got about 1,000 of that. I don't know where to duck that thing, where to hide that thing. Somebody in the flower pot, something in the trap drops, this. So you don't have it, it's a problem, and you have it, it's a problem again. So in this day, the most frequently asked question is this. Okay, I got this now, what must I do? What must I do? So this type of question comes about because, see what you, the thing that you discuss, the thing that you talk about is a reflection of what's in your mind. So that must be the greatest concern in yourself for you to talk about it. If there was a greater concern, then this wouldn't have been the subject for discussion. But because this became the greatest concern, therefore you're asking. Right? So that means it's a reflection of your thought. So sometimes I say to this professional class, you know, educational class, I don't expect them to all, I don't expect mankind to, everybody to become Mawlanas. Otherwise, the whole balance of the world won't be right. So someone has to become a professional person, someone has to become a dini person, whatever, for the balance to go right. But I say for all purpose, right, one thing has to be borne in mind, you will learn the profession, but retain your original thought and culture. You retain your original thought and culture, don't part from that. Yes, you will become a doctor, become a scientist, become whatever. Right. But your original thought, your belief, your thought process, and your culture, don't experiment with that. Now, strangely enough, when you are going on to some any other education, then your core culture is going away, your original thought is going away, your beliefs is getting all diluted, everything is going. See the original thought, right? حضرت شاہ عبد القدوس گنگوئی رحمۃ اللہ علیہ میں اراؤنڈ 11th سینچری رائٹ. سو مینی اے ٹائمز ہی ول کم ہوم دیر از نتھنگ ٹو ایٹ. He couldn't just stand the sight of wealth. Some wealth, the poor, deserving person, give it away. As a result, now he's going into poverty, nothing to eat. So as he comes home, his wife is complaining, nothing to eat. Right? So the answer that he would give to his wife, aap fikr na kare, jannat mein aap ke liye bahut hi umda khana تیار ہو رہا ہے. Very beautiful foods and dishes are being prepared for you in Jannat. Now she is a princess and she is also coming from a royal family. She is a princess and the daughter of his peer as well. Man, both sides, worldly side and spiritual side, she is covered. She is a princess and the daughter of his peer. But اس جواب کو سن کر کے وہ مطمئن ہو جاتی. When she would hear this answer, she would feel relaxed, carry on, right? Now look at it, just compare that woman to the woman of this day, right? The woman of this day, in fact the man of this day is like this, that I ask you, if he has to make a compromise on his deen for some cash, right, and a compromise for his iman, will he compromise not? On his iman, on his deen, he has to make some compromise just to get some additional amounts. Is he going to compromise or not? Look at the major discrepancy, right? Everybody is going matric, university, etc. How many of them are writing about Dawan, evolution, etc.? They're writing in favor of that thing. And how many of them realize that they are risking the iman? How many of them? So no, anything I can risk, but I must just get some material security. Iman can be affected, your Jummah can be compromised, it's all right, material security. There's so many questions that come around the examination period, that we are going through an examination period, but this is the time, and it's clashing in with the Jummah namaz, what should we do? I ask, that is this something to be asked? It's not negotiable, you're not supposed to be asking that. But just for a little bit of material security, that can go, iman can go, akhlaq can go, it's all right. So when you win in that line, then that's how you're going to be treated the rest of your life. The rest of your life will be like this, and you'll be enslaved to that. Because you didn't attach a value to iman. When you didn't attach a value to iman, you attached a value to this. So this thing will make you its slave. You think, oh, well, I'll just pass the thing and I'll come right. It won't work out right. You didn't show that level of loyalty to your iman, that appreciation and gratitude. You showed that material is gratitude and its worth. So that thing will then enslave you. It will manipulate you. It will drive you in whichever direction it wants. Now look at the difference, right? This one here, you're just talking about Jannat. Don't worry. Jannat mein aapke liye umda khana tayyar ho raha hai. And she's so happy, she's so relaxed, and she's moving with it. And then look at the woman or the man of this day, for the little bit of material security, financial security, isn't he prepared to sacrifice his iman, his deen, his important obligatory practices? Isn't he? The amount of respect that we need to show. So the Sahaba Ikram's time was such that if anybody is asking and discussing, the topic under discussion is, what is liked more by Allah Ta'ala? What is more rewarding? And what will Allah Ta'ala appreciate more? That's the question. Everybody, that is the topic under discussion. So that means, that was the thing that was overwhelming them. In this day, the material is overwhelming, so we ask about it, we discuss about it, and we are afraid about it, right? And in that day it was, the deen was so overwhelming, everybody was overwhelmed. So that's a discussion, that's a topic amongst friends, amongst ulama, amongst all people. This is a topic under discussion. Okay, what is liked most by Allah Ta'ala? So Nabi Sallam's answer will be different. Sometimes it's saying the standard answer will be As-salatu ala waqtiha. Most hadith you'll find perform the namaz in the right time. And it is the most important thing. Because you see in Surah Maryam, when Allah Ta'ala starts this whole surah, He's starting with all Anbiya. First Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, then talking about Ibrahim alayhi salam, then Ismail alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam. Then He says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنَعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّةِ آدَمْ. These are the favored class. These are the favored class. He speaks about the favored class. Right. And how He favored them, etc. And then He talks about those people that moved away. One is the favored class, and then those that moved away from the cause. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاءُ الصَّلَاةُ. Right. So the favored class, they had a certain type, a certain way of life. But the people that moved away, then what was the most prominent thing in their lives? The first thing that was very prominent and very, very clear was they ruined the namaz. First thing. So when you're not conscious about namaz, you're not doing it like how you're supposed to be doing it, then what will happen? Then you'll become a slave to your temptations. Whatever worldly, material, etc. So you become a slave. It's taking you this way, you're going this way. Moving you that way, you are going that way. So as though those temptations, desires, etc., the comforts, luxuries, that became the imam, and you became the ghulam. Before it was that you was the ghulam, right? Before the temptations were all the ghulam, and you were the imam. You were leading the temptation. Do this, and you're not going to do this. You're going to eat this, and you're going to eat this, right? And now it's reversed, that the temptation, the desire, it leads your life. And wherever it's taking you, you're moving that way, you're trying to appease yourself, justify yourself, somehow that must become permissible. And if someone is saying it's not right, then that person is too hard. His fatwa, Talimuddin, they're very sakhat they are. They didn't know about compromising, you know. They must have a little bit of a softer approach. So this is how they go, see. But now you're not looking at whether this is the standard of Allah Ta'ala or this is the standard of nafs. Study the thing properly first and see whether it is the standard of Allah Ta'ala or the standard of nafs. Not, you don't look at the situation at what's the flow like. What's the flow like? Right. And why you don't look at what's the flow like? Because وَإِن تُطِئْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you want to go with the flow, they will distract you, they will throw you off the road of Allah Ta'ala. Quran says straight, 80 para, إِن تُطِئْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you want to go with the flow, they'll throw you off from Allah Ta'ala's path. يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ, because they are following their own speculation, their thought, their own discretion, own reason. It's guesswork. So unfortunately, this is how it's going. So you can't say now, you can't use the general flow of the people as the standard. Now people quote everything to appease themselves. They say now, follow the jama'at. Yadullahi ala jama'ah. Follow the jama'ah. And the hand of Allah is on the Jamaat. So what is Jamaat? Jamaat means majority. Where you got that from? The Jamaat means majority. Where did you get from? This is Gulen movement. Last year sometime, 2 years ago, the head of the Africa division, he came here with a Midran Imam. The Imam from the Midran Masjid, he came here. So they got talking and all that. So I was wanting to know why Talimudi is not known, right? But what makes them to come here? Anyway, we're talking about it. So in the process of the conversation, cause of the conversation, so the topic came about that some of the Gulen students are coming here. Now we don't have, But at that time we had the Gulen Madrasa students coming here. The Imam was close and all that. So I spoke to him, you know, some of your students are here and we are receiving phone calls to that this verse must be sent back to the Gulen schools. You know. So I had a word with those children that, you know, your madrasa is calling you back, and I would also like that you go back to your madrasas, to your former madrasas. Why don't you want to go back? So I called those boys, spoke to them. Is the food, the quality of the food better here that makes you stay here, or the quality of food is better there? They said, well, the quality of food is better there. You're getting so much of meat, you're getting so much of coke and all the works we're getting there, you won't get it here. Or the living conditions better there or here? Wow, there is living condition is A class. Not like this, it's substandard. That is now A class. Alright. So that could be the possible reason, you know, the living standards, the food, etc., for the reason for your preference. Then I ask him now, because now I used up all my cards, all what I could understand and reason, I used everything up. So I ask him, what was the reason for your preference, preferring this madrasa here? So he said, no, there's no sunnah there. So I asked him, but what do you mean by there is no sunnah there? So he said, well, every week they give you a blade who's going to shave your beard. Right. You must, in public you must dress without a topi, dress up with a tie, suit, etc. This is how you must dress. So that person that is there studying, he's a revert. He's not a Muslim, not the original Muslim, he's a revert. But he also likes the sunnah so much that he doesn't want to part away from the sunnah. So anyway, the topic carried on. I could see that the midran imam, he was getting a little bit worked up. You know, he's getting coming red on the face. Because of the type of topic that I brought up, you see. So, he went on to say, he's using a different type of an approach to correct me and rectify me. He says, well, you know what, I want to know one question from you. So, what is it? So, but majority of the Muslims, do they keep beard or don't they keep beard? Now, I know what he's going to say after that. That same thing, you know, Yadullah or Jama'ah, he'll say the same thing. So, hey, well, before I answer that, I want to know from you, majority of the people, majority of the Muslims, do they come for Fajr Namaz or won't come? So now when I ask that question, the head of the Africa division, you can see he's a little bit politically inclined, right? So I'm very pleased to meet you, man. Take some Turkish presents, JazakAllah. Very, you know, very healthy discussion we had. The scroll of public, it is God. See, in tuti aksara man fil ardi yudilluka an sabilillah. If you go with the flow is going to mislead you. It's not the way to look at the path. Look at, you know, in the presence of Allah Ta'ala, the standard that you are using, the standard, is it acceptable or not? Yes, if it is acceptable, go with it. But if it is not acceptable, no, majority are going with this, let it go with it. It's not a standard to go with. Otherwise, what is the meaning of istafti qalbak, ask your heart as well. You are in any situation about ask, find out, is this right? Is this the right thing for me to do? Is this the better thing for me to do? And moreover, when the Quran says, the hadith is saying to you, that there's going to be a time, وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَتُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَى. There's going to come a time where Islam will become a thing that is extinct. I'm looking for the right word. Is the extinct, you know. Again, animal is extinct. Something is extinct. You don't see it. So Islam will become rather extinct. Nabi Sam is predicting that this is going to happen. Is a fact. If he says it's going to happen, it will happen. There's no two ways about it. Right. So Islam will become extinct. It may be that the look of Islam may be too much. The looks of Islam may be too much. But Islam itself will become extinct. Now what is the meaning of the look and the reality? So there's two things in a constitution. One is the spirit of the constitution, and one is the constitution itself. Now make us understand what is the spirit and what is the constitution, two different things. Spirit and constitution. And I had my one foe, she's passed away now, about, I would say about 5-7 years ago. But I didn't know in that time, she passed away, she must have been about 90 or something. So they didn't know much about abaya and all that. But her scarf was about, I would say, you know, the headgear must have been about 3 meters in length, 3 or 4 meters. And the width of it must be about 1.5 meter, right? So the whole body will be covered nicely. Alright. Now, her husband liked going around America, England, all that, right? And in her mind, she felt that the better thing for a woman is to remain in the house, not to run around. The reason is obvious. You know, run around everywhere, alright, there's a desperate need to go for Hajj, it's a different thing, it's an exception. But otherwise, for a woman to be traveling around, then that's not the better thing. There's a genuine need for her to go somewhere, she'll go, right? But just to run around Turkey, here, there, and whatever else, then a lot of places she'll have to expose herself. Here, go and expose yourself, here, go and expose yourself. Why are you going to do that? Even the walk of the woman is a problem, right? Her walk, her style, her talk, everything is a problem. Shaitan looks for ways to seduce. And now Shaitan himself doesn't have to look for ways. Shaitan doesn't need to look for ways to mislead the woman. Because the woman itself, she is distracting people. She is in fact attracting people to herself. By her abaya and all that, every abaya is being serviced for a new and a better abaya. So Shaitan, she thinks, Shaitan, you relax, don't worry, I'll do your job. As though she's telling Shaitan, you relax, but don't worry, man. We are the same. You know, I said, munafiqun or munafiqatu ba'dun min ba'di alike. So the Shaitan group is identical. What is the work of Shaitan? To distract, to move you off. Right? So this, as though this woman is saying Shaitan, hey, Shaitan, don't worry, man. Mr. Shaitan, sit down, have relax, have a cup of tea, enjoy yourself. We'll do your work. How we'll do your work? We'll drive around, posh cars. We'll drive around. We'll wear that expensive abayas. And when we wear that expensive abayas, we'll be going to the malls ourselves. We'll attract, we'll do everything. So you don't have to use us to attract people. We'll do your job for you. We're going into a gathering, we'll remove our abayas, right? And we'll show the whole group, we'll show everybody our jeans and our tops. And parda, so she's saying to Shaitan, she said, we'll show people, you know, what is Islam. But we can have freedom. We'll enjoy ourselves. So parda is only supposed to be done in the public. Within the confines of the home, you know, you can just pull your abaya out, everything. So it's going to be your brother-in-laws, your cousin, everybody. So you grew up together. Now be free, able, relax, chill out, chill down. I ask you, is this happening or not happening? Within the confines of the home, is it happening or not happening? They're wearing the tight clothing, right? Right. Their bodies, the contours of the bodies are showing out. And then in the home environment, everything is free for everybody. Women are there, boys are there, men are there, married, not married, everybody is there. And their body parts are revealing, because that's the type of clothing they are wearing. Tight clothing, right? And sometimes you get clothing, such clothing wearing, that it's like like a socks, you know, like a stocking. The whole leg is showing out. And they still feel, oh no, we are in parda, we have covered our body. But what's left to cover now? Everything is revealed. Nothing of the woman is concealed. So she's telling Shaitan, don't worry. We will do your business. We run your business for you. You relax. Have a cup of tea. Enjoy yourself. We will work for you. That's why the hadith says it very clearly. Kashifatin ariyatin. They clothed but they're naked. So when they wearing this type of abayas, that type of clothing within the confines of the home, then don't you expect an accident to take place. You must expect an accident to take place. And then you can't see you're the victim. Why is victimized? Now, last week there was an email. Right. Women are dressing up like that in the house. So the woman is complaining, I was lying down. And then my father-in-law comes in. And whilst I'm fast asleep, and he's got his hand into my breast and everything, he's fronding her. I'm fast asleep and I get up in a shock. What I do? No fault of mine. But I say, it's your fault as well. You're dressing up like that. When you're dressing up like that, then those thoughts are running in his mind. Now, if he's going to behave like that, you won't push the blame entirely to him. You are to be blamed and he's to be blamed as well. You're dressing up in the kitchen, a working place, you're dressing up like that. When you're dressing up like that and he's behaving in that manner, so it's not only his mistake, it's your mistake as well. And the husband, it's all right, no, it's my father, it's all right, so what's wrong? So deen has been given the back seat, you see. So when you give that place to the deen, then the deen won't protect you any longer. Your iman is on the edge. At any time, you can lose that iman. So the day of the Sahaba Ikram was different. And they were concerned about how to go about becoming closer to Allah Ta'ala, reaching to Allah Ta'ala. That was the primary concern. Right? And according to the circumstance, Nabi Sallam was giving a different answer. I just spoke about women and what they're doing, right? Right? But that doesn't mean that it's only the women that are doing this. Because it's the men and the women, both are responsible, right? So there's an email today, right? No, I think this is a follow-up. You send a question and you answer. Because the way she wrote, like as though she was imitating our answers. So she says, now I'm about 19 or 20 years of age, and my father is insisting on me to continue with the course, the career, and I am desperately in need to get married. It's a woman writing, right? And then she writes, because the way she has written the letter, as though she was imitating our answers, or she had emulated the answers, or she had written to us a good answer. Now, I normally don't listen, I don't see who's the person that's writing. You just know it's a man or woman, right? But I don't see who's personally writing that letter. So she says that, all right, you know what, I had the need to get married. Then the other person that was interested, he came and formally put a proposal, that proposal was turned down. They were happy with everything else, but what they were not happy with was he doesn't live at that level of life. The standard doesn't live. Right? He's still studying and I'm studying. So we must complete our career, earn that type of money, and then I can become his wife. But in the meanwhile, she's saying, I need to get married. Right? So I addressed it to my parents. Then parents become physical. No, you have to study. They reprimand, they become physical. Mention it to my mother, she's taking it, she's relaxed about it, she doesn't know how serious it is. So our normal answer is now, or I refer to your uncle, the seniors in your family. So she said, I used up all those options of mine. I spoke to the elders. In fact, I went one step ahead to ask some ulama and prominent influential people to try and explain my parents. But they will not just take a listening. And what do I do? Now she's saying repeatedly, I need to get married. And when a woman is saying that for the second or the third time, you know what she's saying. Right. In the meanwhile, all my options I used up. I said, alright, you ask your parents first. She used up that option. Then you ask the elder of your family, maybe your uncle, granduncle, ask them to at least try and get some sanity in the situation. So she used up that option as well. Now, what to do now? When I need to get married and they're delaying the whole process, what do I do? So then I have to give the original answer. I wrote to the woman, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. See, you explain that you are desperate to get married. That means that if you're not going to get married, you're going to fall into some guna, some serious problem you're going to fall into. Right? When you have reached that point, then all our ulama kiram say, they're unanimous, that then it is compulsory for you to get married. It's not just an option to get married, now it's compulsory. When you didn't reach that point of desperation, then you could have said it's an optional thing, it's a sunnah, right?
But we have reached this point here now, now it's an obligation. When it's an obligation, then an obligation is not subject to any consultation. It's not subject to consultation, it was an obligation. You read your asr namaz, do you make mashwara? Subject to any consultation. You read your fajr namaz, you say, darling, I will read my fajr namaz, please. I got the ijazat. Do you say that? I will for namaz. You like it or you don't like it? I will for namaz. Don't you say that? Why? It's an obligation. This obligation is not subject to any negotiations. I have to do it, I must do it. So, I just ended the letter at that point, that it's an obligation now. Now it's a point of your iman. When it's a point of your iman, then it's an obligation. When it's an obligation, then there's no negotiations. Then, you need to understand that you don't need to compromise your iman. You don't need to risk. Whoever says, whatever he says, whatever the reasons that they put forward, but it's your iman that comes first. After that, everything else will take place, will come in its time. So, the question was asked by Sahaba Kiram generally, was this, what is the best thing to do? So you show your loyalty to Allah Ta'ala. You see, it's not just some formalities, but it's this loyalty. Patriotism, right? Loyalty. It's not your intelligence, it's not your act, but it's that loyalty. You know, where is your loyalty? Where is your allegiance? That's what Allah wants to see. If you are married, intelligence all is part of the package, but not the main reason for preference. She is coming in very intelligent, right? Professional woman, very, very intelligent, a lawyer or an advocate, right? Senior counsel she is, right? But her loyalty, her first level of loyalty is her profession. Second level of loyalty is her ex-boyfriend. Then you come in third in the line, right? You say, I thought, she's very intelligent. For her intelligence and for her professionalism, I'm taking in marriage. The other thing is, by the way, now, you know, let's have to live with it. You have that as your choice of preference. You look at patriotism, you look at loyalty, you look at allegiance. Where's the allegiance? Where's the alliance? After that, everything else can fall in line. But that's not the top reason, not the main reason for your preference. So the Sahaba Ikram are asking questions, right? And Nabi Sallam is answering them accordingly. Like I say, the standard answer is namaz, ala waqtiha. And there must be a reason for that. Like I'm showing you the Bani Israel, right? Allah speaks a whole series of the Anbiya alayhi salam. But where did they lose it? You know, see, he just lost it then. He was going so well. He had the wealth, he was in the wealth, but he just lost it at that point. So Allah is saying that you are going so well. But what was the point of your decline and collapse? فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُ الصَّلَةِ. The first point of your collapse was you had ruined the namaz. And the ruining of the namaz is about four things, right? One is to delay it from the right time, right? You know, the time that you're supposed to be performing, the right time, mustab time, you're not concerned about, right? Now this, obviously it applies to men and women, right? The easiest thing for women to do is to be in the state of readiness before the adhan. As the adhan goes, straight away performing namaz. That's the easiest thing. Right? And if they will have some problems, right? They will have some problems, then it will be better than as the namaz time sets in. Give yourself about 10 minutes because of some discrepancy in the timing in your watch. Maybe there's a problem or the perpetual calendar has got a problem. So you give yourself another 10 minutes from the time the namaz starts in. Namaz time. And you know afterwards you're going to have a problem. You're going to have some guest. So as the time of namaz sets in, 10 minutes give yourself and you're on the musalla. And you completed your obligation, fulfilled it. They gave you a da'wah, right? At a walima. Please, Mawla Hussain, leave your farm and all that. Come to the walima. So you travel from all of the Cato Ridge came to the walima. And then they told you, Mawla said, you know what? well, the food is finished, there's some leftovers, you know, the people are eating here, so we've got some leftovers, have it, enjoy yourself. You enjoy that. Or you want the first round with all the respect. So when Allah is asking you, you give the first round with respect, not the leftover time. You want the leftover, you're going to get that type of leftover reward. But you want the proper reward, you want that with respect, then give it to him with respect. You want to be treated with respect, then give it to him with respect, and you will get something with respect as well. Keep everything aside. You know, this is the whole itinerary for the day. I need to get this in time. I'm going to get this, everything is going to follow. So when the namaz is going to be right, then the shahwat, etc., all your luxuries and your comforts, everything, you know, temptations, all will be under control. But if the namaz is not under control, everything will go. And then there's so much of emphasis on this that Allah is saying, not only you, but you get your household also on the same line. You must be on the same page as them. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. You cooperate. Munafiqin, they are one, it's one breed, you know, it's one breed. All going in the same direction. And the believers, they will cooperate. In good works, يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. With this men or women. Men or women means, women that are your maharim. Those that you are, that's in your marriage, or those that are your maharim, you can't get married to. Not all women now. Otherwise, Mrs. Maryam that is working in the factory say, oh, how are you today? Have some tea, now go and perform your namaz. Leave Mrs. Maryam, she'll know about her work. You do your own work. So your maharim and your wife, that is the one that you're going to work on. She will support you, you will support her. She will cooperate with you, you will cooperate with her. What a beautiful atmosphere in the house. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. You want your material security, even if you give it just for material security, but do it the right way. Do it like how Allah wants. Like I say, if someone is giving you the second round food, the leftovers, you know, you don't appreciate it. So, you know, I came right from Cato Ridge for this Walima in Spingo, and this is what food they gave me. Won't you have that in your heart? You won't have that in your mind. And you're a fussy person, so it's alright, keep the food, I'm carrying on. Jazakallah, I'm carrying on, I'll give it off. Won't you say that? So that's what you're giving to Allah Ta'ala, and you want Allah to make kabul. I'm leaving my namaz, but my business is prospering, Allah Ta'ala, things are working out for me, I'm leaving your namaz. But that's a scrap that you're giving to Allah Ta'ala, and you want a beautiful reward for that. It's a mercy for Allah Ta'ala, it's not rejecting on your face. Ajib Nadullah Sabrahim used to say that arif, that a person's got the understanding, recognition of Allah Ta'ala, right? He is two rakats. Compared to that person who doesn't have the recognition and understanding of Allah Ta'ala, is like a million rakats to two rakats. Right? Now look at the hadith now, right? What he's saying, these people, what they're saying, they're not saying from the back pocket. It's supported, right? One person is saying, La ilaha illallah, just once. But he's saying it with that such fervor and spirit that he can knock off 99 registers as far as the eyes can see. Imagine so much of sins he's got. 99 registers as far as the eye can see. But that one la ilaha illallah is said with such fervor, such beauty, such sincerity, that it smashes down, blots out everything. So can you imagine the spirit that he spoke, la ilaha illallah? The other person is saying, La ilaha illallah, but it's getting rejected. Fir'aun, and he's saying, Hatta idha adrakahu al-ghariq, qala amantu annahu la ilaha illa alladhi amrat bihi. He's saying it, and he's saying it in three different ways. La ilaha illa alladhi amrat bihi banu Israel, two ways. Wa ana min al-muslimin, third way. So he's saying it in so many ways. But Allah says, everything is rejected. So one person is saying it, and that his kalama is so beautiful, so like Allah Ta'ala, is smashing out and deleting a 99 registers as far as your eye can see. It's beyond imagination, so much of dua the person made. But the other person is performing the same namaz. He's performing namaz. Namaz is kalama and everything else, who read? It's not only kalama, because in namaz he's going to say the kalama after all. He's going to say the shahadatain, right? but is thrown back at him like a dirty rag. This person, that la ilaha illallah, that's one part of the namaz, is so valuable that he's smashing out and deleting so much, and this person is making a whole namaz with the la ilaha illallah inside contained, but it's being thrown back at him. See hadith of words. See, so he's got the recognition, so he'll be patriotic, he'll be faithful, he'll be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Mulana was here from Pakistan, so he was called somewhere to Norway, I think, yes. Norway, yes. So now he's got a, so because he's the head of the Wifaq al-Madaris, so the Islamic education, etc., now that becomes a problem for them, right? Because they feel the madrasas are all a threat, or they're breeding terrorism. So they had now an audience, and they asked me about madrasas and that how can, you know, how can they help us. So amongst the questions they asked was, say for example, Islam is saying something against the constitution. Constitution is saying something, the law of the land is saying something, and Islam is saying something, and both are clashing, right? Now what do you do? Now Muhammad says, I know what they're up to. If I say, for example, that you'll just listen to Islam, right, then I'll be the headlines that you see this people, person here is breeding terrorism. Breeding terrorism, right? And I'll be the headlines to close all the madrasas. Madrasas, because he's representing the madrasas, when he represents the madrasas, so this is what they are breeding. Right. So I'll be in the hotspot, I'll be closing a lot of madrasas like that. And if I say, alright, you know what, no, we'll have to listen to you and make a plan, you know, like an in-between answer. Like I said, today, that has become siqqa ra'ij al-waqt, the circulation currency that is predominant. If I say, oh, it's alright, you can listen to the constitution and relax the law, you know, relax the rule of Islam, then they will misconstrue it. How they say, well, Islam is not so important. Because this person here represents all the madrasas. When he represents all the madrasas, so this is what he's saying. So therefore, the law of Islam is not so important. You know, if it's a school hour, and the school wants you to be in class and postpone your Jummah namaz to Asr, you must do it because that's what the law of the land says. That's how they misconstrue it. See? So he said, Allah put the answer in my mind. So I asked the person who was interviewing me, asked him, alright, who does make up the constitution? Obviously, the parliament makes it. Parliament will sit together and they'll make the constitution. And who makes up the parliament? Says it's an election process, and where you elect the people from the public, the public elects the parliament, and the parliament makes the constitution. Alright. Says, alright, I want to know from you, when they make up the constitution, is it made up, is it constructed to try and eliminate problems or to give rise to problems? Right. So no, it's obvious to eliminate problems, right? So said, alright, every country you have a diverse culture, religion. You've got Christians, you've got Jews, you've got Muslims, etc., right? When you've got a diverse population, so you are looking for a constitution to create problems or to try and suppress problems. So obviously to suppress problems. Then if it is to suppress problems, then if you want to say something that's against Judaism, for example, right? So what will you have the Jewish lobby doing? They'll come up against you. So you have to now work with them, speak to them, alright? You know, this is what your law is saying, and this is what we want, we propose. So how can you work this out? They will give you, alright? You know, you can relax the constitution, accommodate this, won't be a problem. If Jummah is a problem, right? If Jummah is a problem, maybe you need one more hour. So you can start the school 1 hour earlier and see them for Jummah namaz. So they will give you a solution. Now, within the entire country, you will have peace. But if it is that one sector was singled out, right? One sector was singled out, they will feel, why is this discrepancy? And then they will come out against you. So that is not what the government wants. The government wants peace. When the government wants peace, then they will dialogue, alright, how do we respect these people here? So that these people will support, or are we supporting the ANC? Why are we supporting them? That they look at our dini requirements. They respect our dini requirements, so we support them. So isn't this? So when he gave that answer, they say, you know, when we send people to interview the people, there are people that are highly qualified. They go through a course, 5-6 years course, to put them into that position where they can interview. But the way you smash them down here, so who are you by? This is the grace of Allah Ta'ala. You believe in Allah Ta'ala, you believe in His grace, not of my own doing. So, you know, when you talk of patriotism, it's not just you're doing some formal worship. Where's your feelings? Where's your emotions? You stand up for Islam in any given situation. Wherever you are, but you stand up for Islam. You stand up for the truth. But in this zaman, obviously, you stand up for the truth, not wild, not with an aggression, not impolite. Use your reasoning. Allah has given everybody reasoning. Use the reasoning to come to the defense of Islam, and you will get things right. See now, he didn't use force, he didn't use aggression, he didn't use any type of emotions, polite, respectfully, but he got the thing right. Now, we want to use aggression, either use aggression and impoliteness, or we go to the other extreme and compromise. So both is wrong. This is also wrong, and that is wrong also. You know, you're getting this particle is in between. This is a problem area. There's a compromise on this side, there'll be something in between, and they're not on this side, they're not on that side. Right? Or you get the other party that becomes intolerant, aggressive, impolite, right? And then the news media, they still want to see, yeah, these Muslims are all terrorists. See how they talk. But if you talk to them, make them understand, alright, talk to them at their game, how they look at it. That the government, what it wants peace. It wants that all its people will love and respect it. That's what the government wants. So when the government wants that they want to respect and love everybody, they want everybody to love and respect them, then they will be considerate about their dini obligations and values. They will cut down the constitution, make it such that they respect everybody else. Khaja Azizur Hasan Rahmatullah Alayh, right? Initially in his day, he used to be the judge, you know. And that was the highest level that that any Indian could go. In India, any Indian could go above the position of a judge. So he'd been posted to the highest, right? So intelligent. So it's an English rule at that time. And the English got its viceroy in England, in India. So the viceroy is coming, and he wants a conference with all the judges and magistrates. Many of them were Muslims, some Hindu, many of them Hindu Muslims at that time. Right. So Khaja Aziz Rasul Sahib Rahmatullah had to be at the conference, right? But now, against all the other delegates, all the others that were invited, he went in his original Islamic garb, topi, kurta, trouser above the ankle. He dressed up correctly at the event, right? The viceroy left his place, wherever he was sitting on the stage. When he saw Khaja Sahib coming in, he went and he embraced himself personally. Imagine now, he's got a position, right? The whole, like, as though he is the king of India, right? That's the viceroy's position. But he left his maqam, his position, to go and receive Khaja Aziz Hasan Sahib Rahmatullahi personally. He said, I'm showing this respect because you are wearing a royal garb. What you're wearing is the garb of royalty. And I'm showing respect to you because of this royal garb of yours. This is the clothing of a king. And that's the clothing that every man is supposed to be wearing, every Muslim is supposed to be wearing. And you see these people here, he's wearing a suit and a pant and a tie. Or in this day, you know how he's wearing tight jeans and t-shirts and all that, right? So today it's tight jeans and t-shirts. Then they were wearing suits and ties and all whatever else, right? So this tight jeans and t-shirts, etc., or suits at that time, that really is the clothing of slaves. Because they're aping us. See, we are the masters and they are slaves. So they are aping us. They are copying us. So as though they feel that we are the leaders and they are the followers and they need to follow us. They are our slaves, so they need to follow us. So we are looking at them like our slaves. Because this is how they're behaving. They're behaving like slaves, so we're treating them like a slave. We are the masters and they are the slaves. But here, really, you are wearing the right clothing. You are wearing the clothing of a king. So I afforded you that respect because of this. I left my position, I came to embrace you personally. Right. Then it was namaz time, right? I think that whole session is going on, the conference, and namaz time. As soon as the Muazzin said, Allahu Akbar, without asking permission, he just left to go straight. The viceroy himself instructed, gave an announcement, okay, we are stopping this because of respect to this person's prayer. It is prayer time, we will stop the whole conference, for him, let him go in peace and do his prayer and come back, but we are stopping this. See, you will respect Allah Ta'ala's law, wherever you are, you'll be respected. You be the imam, and all these people here will be behind you. But you gave Allah Ta'ala's law the back seat, and then you want to have the front seat, you want to have respect, that won't happen. Try what you want, you're not going to get it. But you kept Allah Ta'ala in front. You kept his law in front. You kept the spirit of Allah Ta'ala in front. So I was talking to you about my foe, you know. So husband wants to go everywhere, right? And she will say to him, you know what, although she wouldn't wear an abaya, right? But she would say, you know, the place of a woman is the house. They didn't have so much of knowledge at that time where they were wearing abayas and all that, right? But she won't come front of strange men, although that's the clothing that she will wear. But she would insist on husband, you can go, you know, I won't mind you going, but please just allow me to live here. And she would come and stay with the sister or with the granny or the mother, whatever. She would come and stay there for the duration of the husband's outing, right? But she would stay here, right? Now, this, compare this with the modern woman. Compare this whole behavior with the modern woman, right? One person was there about 3 days ago, he came here. So he says, you know, we were in such a family gathering, and woman is dressed up with a baya, fool, you can't see her face. But we are sitting there in the lounge and discussing, and she comes down, she's sitting with us, and cool, casually she's conversing with us. So you see, one is the constitution, one is the spirit. And two totally different things. Constitution is a different thing, and the spirit of the constitution is a different thing. I ask you, this woman here, she's got the constitution, she's dressed up well, but has she got the spirit of the constitution? She's lost it, she's totally lost it. And she feels confident in herself, no, I've got it. Is she anywhere near? Absolutely miles apart. She doesn't know what it is. She thinks just that cover means Islam. She doesn't have that parda in her heart. So she's relaxed, she's talking quite comfortable, she's relaxed. So it's two different things. Now, until you don't have the training by someone senior, superior with a taqwa, righteousness, you can't understand this type of spirit. You think, no, I'll just read some books and I'll get the spirit. It doesn't work like that. The spirit is a different thing and the constitution is a different thing. So Allah Pak says about this Banu Israel, the way they lost it, the first point where they lost it was they neglected the salah. Finish. Right. So when you say neglecting the salah, it's about four elements that bring about the neglect. One is you totally unconscious about the times of namaz, any time. Whether it's the right time, wrong time, delaying, not delaying. You just have to, it's just an obligation now, we're just fulfilling it. It's just an obligation, we're just fulfilling an obligation like a ritual. So you don't show the respect for the namaz. You know, if you have to go for heart surgery, and Dr. Zanker tells you, you know, you're coming at 5 o'clock, will you go 10 minutes later? Doctor, you know, I had to look at my business. Will you say that? No, you come there at 5 o'clock. You know how valuable his time is. Right? So for the value of his time, you'll come there on time. Right? For the value of Allah Pak's time, you show it that respect. For the value of his time, you show it in that respect. But the value of Allah Pak's time, you show it that respect. Like I say again, you know, I give the same example. The leftover you call a mehman, you know, all is leftover, you know, all the bones and all that, you will enjoy it, don't mind. You know, the bones will go, will get wasted. There's a lot of food, you know, crumbs and all that. All that anaj will get to waste. So have it, enjoy it, don't worry. Now that's the thing that you want to give to Allah Ta'ala, and you, for that you want the best reward. Is it making sense? So the second thing in neglecting salah is you're doing the namaz, but you are totally unconscious about doing it in the right posture. You're just going through a ritual, just going through it. Just going through the whole ritual. As though you're competing now, who can do it faster? And you consider it to be an act of excellence, who can do it faster? And yeah, now this person is performing namaz, you can see, bhai ye to namaz par raha hai. Ab dekho unki namaz, ruku ko dekho kis tarah se pyara hai. Our Ustad, Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah, used to say, when our Madani Sahib Rahmatullah used to perform namaz, we just want to look at him all the time, look at him, and look at him. Because it was something else that he was doing, as though he was not with us. As though he was by Allah Ta'ala, and he was conversing with Allah Ta'ala, we could see it, you know. It was so distinct, so clear. He was at a different level at that time. So we all just want to see him in namaz. What the postures are, how he's doing it. He was at a different level at that time. So there must have been something in his namaz that brought so much of attraction. فَخَلَفَ مِنْ بَعْدٍ خَلْفٌ أَبْدَعُسَ. The first thing that they destroyed was namaz. So the first thing you get right in namaz is the timing. Whether it's a man, whether it's a woman. And I say we encourage each other. Leave alone the guest, right? Leave alone you being a guest, right? And even if you walk into your own house, and your wife says, you know what, I got 2 days, 3 days curry fish, just take it, put it in the microwave and enjoy yourself. You happy with that? Are you happy with that? Or you want her, you know what, hey, one roti must just roll out of the tawa, and the second of the tawa, before I finish this, that thing must come in. What do you want? Speak the truth. The tea, I said, oh, I'll just put it in a microwave and give it to you. You don't want that, go on, maybe brewed properly, get that smell, that fragrance must come out, you know, a little bit flavor, elishi, and then come out. Do you want it like that? Or you want, hey, you know, I'll just put it in the micro, heat it and have it. Do you want that? You want it, you know, as your taste. But you want to give that, you know, substandard to Allah Ta'ala. When it's your own thing, you want it at that level. But when you're giving it to Allah Ta'ala, is that the right thing? Is that the price that you give to Allah Ta'ala? So get the postures right. You do the ruku nicely with itminan. When you do sajda with itminan. Man is right in the throes of death. Khudayb radiyallahu anhu. He says, if I had been not afraid, that you would think I'm afraid of death, I would have prolonged this namaz. So what he must have been doing to want to prolong that namaz, that enjoyment, that satisfaction and fulfillment that namaz was giving him. So he did for that namaz, the namaz did for him. See that? He did for the namaz, he paid, he invested in the namaz, and the namaz did for him. That is the secret, the mystery of namaz, that are you doing for that namaz? Then that namaz will do for you. So that every posture is Alhamdulillah, whether it's Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Rabbana lakal hamd, Qiraat, everything. When you're doing it, and then you're talking to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, please, make it work for me, Allah Ta'ala. I don't say I'm good, I'm trying, but Allah Ta'ala, even our trying, it's your compassion, your love, you will just accept our trying. You know, that's the frame of the mind. Allah Ta'ala, not the best, but I'm trying, Allah Ta'ala. Forgive me, correct me, improve me. The whole namaz, this is the frame of the mind. So that's the second thing that brought about the neglect in the namaz. Right? The third thing that brought about the neglect in the namaz, they were not concerned about performing the namaz in jamaat. In jamaat, then you're just doing it, just joining up. No, but I'm going in good time. I've been repeating this for some time. But, you know, an easy way in this day for us to get saved from a lot of problems, come a little earlier to your namaz than your normal time. You're coming to the masjid at some time, come at about 10 minutes before your normal time. Make some istighfar, tawbah, cry to Allah Ta'ala, make some Quran Sharif and then get into namaz. Because the life is so hectic out there, right? That everything is attracting you. The phone is not leaving you. Now the namaz just ended. The first thing, before there should be Subhanallah, 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 the fingers, right? Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. Now the first thing, the first wazifa after namaz, hey, what's up? What's up? Where that wazifa came, I don't know. I looked at so many kitab, I looked. But that wazifa, that after namaz, straight away look at the phone. Then I'm still looking for that masjid, I can't find it. Anyway, once the period maybe he'll make a lot of tahqeeq, he'll find it somewhere. I know there's some mastoon du'as, there's some zikr to make. There's some tasbihat, ayat kursi, that I know. But this one, yeah, after namaz, this sunnah, yeah, I know, I check it up here. I know, maybe my tahqeeq is still backwards. Right. So, that's the third thing, get the postures right. You know, you want the namaz to continue. Imagine an ordinary person, he gets that amount of enjoyment in namaz. Someone asks him, "Hey, you make yourself out so long, man, you know." Sometimes you make the imam, he's not a mulana, so he doesn't know how to adjust the namaz as an imam. Making the sajda so long. Literally, his sajda will go to about 2 minutes. That's literally. Our whole namaz will go 2 minutes. His sajda will go 2 minutes. So they ask him, you know, but why are you stretching your sajda so much? So he just avoided. He said, no, I ask you in the name of Allah, but you must show me what's causing this delay in the sajda. I mean, take the name of Allah Ta'ala. He has to say it now, right? You know what? When I get into sajda, then I'm longing, perhaps this may be the last sajda. Allah Ta'ala may just take my soul now. So that's the state of my mind, you know. Maybe it's the last sajda, maybe Allah Ta'ala just will take my soul at that time. So you can imagine now, what would be the feelings in his heart? How close he is with Allah Ta'ala at that time. So that's the third thing that they did to destroy that namaz, right? The fourth thing is this, in namaz, we're not encouraging, whether our household, whether people that we can access or influence, or we're not encouraging them to do the namaz rightly, correctly, do it on time. Are we doing it? So this is the four levels of disaster they brought to the namaz. As a result, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّةً, they're going to disaster. Allah Akbar.